Our country has always gone through a lot of things, but it doesn't stop. And we know there's always going to be this conflict because the Bible says so. So we're just going to take some time right now and pray for CareNet, and we pray for our country, pray for our president, and everything that's going on. That God, you know, we preach on prayer. That's what we're doing again. And I think we just need to really be serious about this and take some time to say, God, please have your way and be merciful to our nation. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know every situation. You know every outcome. Lord, we're just coming together as a church at Calvary Gospel, doing what you've called us to do, to pray, to call on you. Lord, even in these hard times, even in these troubled times, even in these uncertain times, God, we know that the certainty of how much you love us is the most important thing. We are certain without any confusion how much you love us because you sent your Son to build a relationship back with you, the bridge that we didn't have. Lord, we were your enemies until Jesus came, that we have now opportunity to have a relationship with you. And so I pray right now, we pray together for our country, our president, our government, our nation. Lord, that you would manifest your presence in such a way, because all through Scripture, as we read, everything you did was to be for you to be glorified. Lord, that man would never be glorified in any of these circumstances, but Jesus, that you would be glorified in all of these situations. And we would stand as believers, and this church would stand with you, Jesus, not with a political party, but God, we will stand for what is true, what your truth is through this word of God, and that we would stand with you with faith and know, and we trust you through this whole situation. And we give you all the honor and glory that's due you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's very hard. Like my wife said, you come, always pray for your pastor. And pray for your pastor's wife. Pray for our family. Because, you know, you get ready for a Sunday morning and the worship team gets ready. And they're always, like I said before, they're always connected to what God wants to do here on a Sunday morning. And then, you know, God does something differently and you have to shift gears. But God is so good. God is so good. Because he wants to do something with us. He wants to help us. He wants to love us. He wants to show us how much he cares for us. And so we have time. If you're visiting for the first time or you've been here a few times, we're open to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he does not bring confusion. So we go with what the Holy Spirit has. So you pray for your pastor. You pray for this service. Every time these doors are open and there's a service, you pray that God would move in a mighty way and use the people. It's not just about, I'm just going to be honest with you. I always say that, and people must say, well, gee, when are you dishonest? I got to stop saying that. It's not about me, and it's not about my wife. It's about you. It's about you. God wants to do great things. God wants to do great things. And some of you are sitting here going, yeah, but you don't know me. And it's like, I don't need to know you. Only Jesus needs to know you. And Jesus is happy with you. Why? Because he came and died for you when you were a sinner. So don't tell me that Jesus doesn't love you. He does. And you're here not by coincidence. I always say that. And I repeat that a lot because I want this church to know God is doing something. And if he brings you here, that means he's preparing you to do something. I love that the church looks full. But if no one's doing anything, the church is empty. Oh, it gets awful quiet. I'm telling you, you're here because God wants to use you at Calvary. Some of you may say, well, I'm just what, whatever, but God will walk you through it. God will walk you through it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're speaking on prayer. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. We're all glad you're here. And we're speaking on prayer. And the title of my message is Call Me. You know, you ever, if you're out with someone you're with someone and someone says, oh man, my car just broke down or my furnace just broke or something broke or I need to have something fixed or I just need advice, you know. You always got people, they pull out their business card and they say, oh yeah, I'm a handyman or I'm this, I'm that. And they give you your business card and they give you your number on it. And they always say like, call me, right? We all do that. And sometimes you say it and then you hope the person doesn't call you, you know, there are those times. And but hopefully when you give your business card out or your name and your number, you say, hey, call me. And as we're reading this in Jeremiah chapter 33, this is what God says to Jeremiah. But I'm going to give you a little backstory here, a little story before we read the scriptures. But, you know, it's funny how, like, we'll talk to people and say, yeah, call me. Here's my card. You need something fixed? You just want to go out and have a cup of coffee? Call me. Here's my number. But why are we so afraid to call Jesus? He's the only one that has the answer. And there's times when Jesus says, hey, call me. God says, I sent you my son. He's the phone number. Call him. Here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, God gave him a prophecy to give Israel. And Jeremiah is now, he gives a prophecy and Israel isn't heeding to the prophecy, and Jeremiah is thrown into prison in kind of the inner courts of the palace prison, and he's telling King Zedekiah exactly what God has asked him to say, and the people of Israel are just kind of growing weary of the message of repentance. Wow, that is just like, they're growing weary. It's like, we don't want to hear about repentance anymore. Whatever you're saying, God, to Jeremiah, it's not going to happen. And so they literally put him in a prison so he would stop speaking about what God is sharing with him because they won't come to repentance. And so they asked the king to silence Jeremiah. They put him in prison. And everything Jeremiah said is going to happen, and it does happen. Babylon was coming just as Jeremiah had prophesied, and the people of Israel continue to ignore the message of God. Now, this isn't really my message, but I'm giving you the back story of this whole thing. There are going to be times when God tells you to do something, and we know God told you to do it, and you do it, and you're ridiculed, and you're persecuted, and you're maybe thrown into a social prison where you've become isolated and no one wants to be with you. It didn't stop Jeremiah. The spiritual leaders of Israel advised the king and the people to continue as they were and claimed that we're still going to have peace. You know, here's man trying to tell God what to do. And so Jeremiah, here's the story. He's in prison now. Jeremiah was no doubt in a state of hopelessness, but God did not forget him in prison. God has not forgotten you. No matter where you are, what you've done, why you're here, or what you're going through, God has not forgotten you. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3, we're going to read. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you the great and mighty things which you do not know. I love that. Which you do not know. We think we know everything. We think we know exactly how our life should be. At least we're hoping. And we think we know all the things that even though we don't see it or can't see it, we think we know all about it. And God says, I'm going to show to you. Sometimes we're locked in bars and other barriers may be able to shut us in completely from the world. See, sometimes we feel completely shut in. We feel completely closed in. We feel walled in. We find ourselves isolated in a hopeless situation, maybe immobilized. And we can't turn to anybody for help. Sometimes that's how we feel. Is there anybody that can help me? But nothing can shut you out from God. Nothing can shut you out from God. God is right there with you, and he hears your prayer. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." The Lord is here. The Lord heard your voice. You know, the people that came up, and even the people, even though you didn't come up, that's okay. But God still heard your call. God still heard your cry. God still heard your prayer. That's why God had this invitation. Hey, sometimes we just need to get out of our seat. This didn't save anybody. Coming forward, it wasn't the forwardness. It was, I want you to catch this. It's the obedience of doing. Okay? When Sister Debbie said, "I feel like Liana and Alina should come up here and pray for people," and when you come up, it's the obedience that God honors. And because you didn't come up, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But there are times when God says, "I'm doing something. I'm doing something." And it's just obedience to that. The Lord heard Jeremiah calling unto him from inside a prison in Jerusalem. It's the same Lord over 200 years earlier heard Jonah crying to him out of the belly of the whale. Hey, you can be in prison. You can be in the belly of a big fish. God still hears you. Well, so you could sit here and go, "Pastor Tom, you don't know where I am and what I'm going through." Well, let's put it on a scale. Prison and a big fish. Somewhere you're in between that. Can't get any worse than a big fish. Can't get any worse than a prison. So we're all there. And God hears our cry. But this is the points I want to give you today. This is an awesome prayer. And this is, the first point is divine foundation of the call. Man, there's got to be a foundation why I'm calling on Jesus. And Jesus makes it very clear. God makes it very clear in this passage. He says in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name." What he was doing was building confidence in Jeremiah. There's two types of foundations we can stand on when we pray. See, sometimes we figure, why do I pray? Why do I pray? Why do I cry out to God? Well, God is encouraging Jeremiah, he's encouraging us. There is a foundation why you do this. It's what God does. He is the one who has made and formed all things. He has the power at his disposal to make things right again in answer to your prayers. It's what God does. God is the one who made Israel into a nation, and it also means that he is able to bring them back from captivity. Hallelujah. God created you. We live in a world of sin because of Adam and Eve, but guess what? Since God created you, he knows how to fix that. And he brought Jesus. You know, some people say to me, "Why do we have the world the way it is? Why are things happening?" I'm saying, well, he created it, and he fixed it with Jesus. So why don't you receive him? No, they just want wars to stop, but they don't want Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to work that way. There's a foundation to our prayers, and our prayers are founded on, hey, you're God. It was broken, but it was created by you. You have the ability to fix it. Hallelujah. I am so glad that Jesus is the one that's trying to fix it, or can fix it, not trying, can fix it, and it's not man trying to fix it. That's why we're in the problems we have. Second, one who establishes the world. Establish means being firmly and securely fixed. Nothing can stand in the way of God's purpose. Nothing. That's why I go to prayer. Because nothing can stand in the way of God's purpose. Revelations 3:7. "Holy is he, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens." That pretty much makes that perfectly clear. He is going to do what he's purposed to do. That's why we go to prayer. And then it's who God is. The Lord is his name, Yahweh. When he told Moses, I am who I am, who I am, who I am, who I am. The I am is not changing. Yahweh. God is the eternal, self-existent one. There is no one like him. That's why we go to prayer. That's why we go to prayer. Second thing, it's an invitation. It's the invitation. You know, I'm always reminded, my wife, we get so many, you know, invitations to weddings and save the dates and showers and baby showers and whatever showers. And, you know, at one point, we were, you know, when we were married, I mean, our refrigerator was full of save the dates from family members, you know. It was an invitation. And they came, and now, you know, when we got married and sent out an invitation, it was like, I think it was maybe handwritten or something, you know. Now it's this beautiful picture, and they're out in the mountains or on the, you know, under a waterfalls or out in the field or riding a horse. I feel like I'm in a movie, you know, like a Hallmark movie or something. It's like the invitation. Man, when that comes in the mail, and man, you get excited. Come on, tell me. Okay. Forget the men. Tell me what woman isn't excited when they get their invitation, save the date. I mean, come on, be honest. My wife is like, did you see the save the date? I go, you'll tell me when I have to go. I know that. But come on, you get excited. This is something you're going to, it's a little card about a baby shower. I mean, And it's like, you just think that someone gave my wife $1 million. I said, where's the check? Where's the $1 million? No, it's a baby shower. It's an invite. It's like, okay. The invitation. God is not difficult to reach. All through Scripture, God calls us out and says, says, cry out to me, call out to me, you know, speak to me, be with me. Paul says, pray continuously, pray without ceasing. Come on, just interact with me. The invitation, God is always saying that. And I like it because there's no stipulations. There's no prerequisite to prayer. You don't need a computer. You don't need an iPhone. There's no busy signal. There's no internet connection. It's not slow. It's not stopping. You don't got to call Spectrum once again. There are no passwords. Think about it. We live in a world that we're in connection with everything. And I tell you, I was there once before I changed my internet connection. It's frustrating when you can't get that thing up on the screen. It's like, I had to get a new computer because I would turn on my computer. Thank you to Ben and Oleg. Positive, forget me, help me get a new computer. I turn on my computer, I would go make coffee, I would go do other things. By the time I got back, it might be on and kind of available. That's not Jesus. When he sends the invitation, when he says, call unto me, it's like it's no matter what you're feeling, you're not distant from God. The Lord is always close, no matter what the situation is, big or small. He gives you the invitation, call on me. It seems strange that we need a command. Doesn't it seem strange that we need a command to call on Jesus? But we don't need a command to breathe. We don't need a command to eat. We don't need a command to sleep. But God has to call us and say, hey, I'm giving you an invitation to meet with me. Isn't that kind of funny? Our physical life supersedes our spiritual life. We would never think to call on God sometimes, but we sure would go to the refrigerator. And I really believe that God says this, call on me, because he understands there are times when we listen to the enemy's lies. And he knows the enemy is going to lie to you and I. You know, why should you pray? What good will it do? Why go to the King of Kings when you've been a traitor to him? You are not worthy of prayer. You're not good enough to go to the Lord in prayer. See, God knows what the enemy is going to do. God knows what the enemy is going to say. And I think that's why sometimes he's got to put it through Scripture. Hey, I'm still sending you an invitation. Call on me. Hebrews 4:16 says, And I love the scripture because it really solidifies this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Confidence that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. There's no prerequisite. There's no condition to that. Let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly. The second thing, we have the invitation and we have the promise. This is why we go to prayer. To believe that God will not answer prayer is calling God a liar. Think about that. He says, I will answer you. See, we may not sometimes not like the answer that God brings or his timing, but God will answer your prayer. Timing has a lot to do with it, and sometimes it depends what you're asking God for, especially when it doesn't line up with Scripture. God's nature is one of love, full of grace and truth and mercy. How can he refuse those whom he commanded to seek his face and favor? I want you to read that again. I want you to catch this. God's nature is one of love, full of grace and truth and mercy. How could he refuse that? Who's commanded us to seek him? See, we've touched on this a couple Sundays ago. We're always praying, and we're praying for the outcome. We never pray just to be with Jesus. And that's a key. Would God give an invitation to seek his grace, then toss us aside when we sought his grace? Would he really do that? See, now the enemy is put enough in your mind sometimes to think that, but that's not going to happen. And he wouldn't do that. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Not when you got good, not when you got better, not when you stopped sinning, not when you thought you were religiously okay. While you were a sinner, Jesus came. While you were a sinner, Jesus loved you. If he heard me while I was yet a sinner, how much more as a friend? I don't even think those are, it's grammatically, spiritually, biblically, theologically correct to say that. But you know what I'm saying. He can't love you anymore as a friend. He can't. But I want you to see the difference. It's like a marriage, you know, when you're dating and, oh, I'm in love. And could love be any more? You know, could this is like, this is heaven. Then you get married. And marriage is supposed to bring a deeper relationship, a deeper love, a deeper companionship, a deeper commitment, a deeper trust. And that's what Jesus is saying. Man, I dated you when you were a sinner. I've never said that from the pulpit. And I do it at a members' meeting a couple hours later. He dated you when you were a sinner. And he loved you. Man, I want you to think about that. And now he's married to you as a believer. The love, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why we have so many people confused about Jesus. Because they think the relationship with Jesus is based on how good they are. Or how much did I love Jesus today? I know then he'll love me more. Or he'll love me the same. It's not that. Understand what Jesus is saying. He loved you when he met you, before you were formed, the Bible says. And now that you believe and trust in him, it's a deep relationship that grows and grows and grows. The key to this whole thing is he wants us to bring our needs to him personally and express our trust and confidence in him. That's what he's looking for. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Number three, the power of his persuasion. So we've got the invitation, we have his promise, and this is the power of his persuasion. And in verse 3, it says, I will show you great things. Verse 3, I will show you great things. Nothing is beyond the ability of God. Nothing is beyond the ability of God. When Moses was called to take Israel out of slavery, nothing is beyond the ability of God. When God said, Gideon, you're going to go fight against the Midianites, Gideon had 30,000 soldiers. And the Midianites had 135,000 soldiers. And what did God tell Gideon? You have too many. Gideon goes, too many? I'm still like one-third, less. No, too many. He goes through this process. God windles him down to 300 men. Midian's 135,000. We know the story. We know the outcome. God, nothing is beyond the ability of God. Jesus rebuking the wind as the disciples are in the ship and they feel like they're going to perish. What does he come and do? He rebukes the wind. Nothing's beyond his ability. He goes from turning water into wine, the first miracle, to raising the dead. Nothing is beyond the ability of God. So tell me what you're going through. Tell me what you're going through that God can't help you with. So he's gone from 300 to 135,000. God wins. He goes from a million Israelites in slavery over 400 years, and he says, we're going. I heard your cry. We're going. We're taking you out. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Great things are promised to us, and God has the power to deliver them. God does. Not you. God does. He has the power. Then he says, mighty things. Nothing is beyond the access of God. The access of God. And that word mighty means hidden or fenced in things, not accessible to us, but very accessible to God. Nothing is beyond the access of God. Nothing. That's what that word means. When Joshua comes up to Jericho, it's a fortified city. The walls were so large around Jericho that they had chariot races around them. I think there were inner walls too. I think there were like 12 feet in width. It was a fortified, it says, impregnable city. You could not break into this city. Ha! I have access, God says. He tells Joshua, you do what I ask you to do. How does a city crumble at the sound of a shout and a sound of blowing shofars? Come on. See, if you just watch the movie and you don't read the scripture, it was a great movie. But when you read the scripture and you know God's hand, he has access to everything. And I watched a documentary once, and they were talking about this, that the shofars, they were ram's horns, and you would blow into them, and that's what they use for like trumpets sometimes and horns. And they did I watched a documentary where they literally had people blow into these things and put it on a graft, and some of the high pitches of the sound of a shofar would actually put cracks in cement and rocks. No, it's a documentary. I didn't see it on the internet. That was before internet came. So it has to be true. But think about it. People are studying this. See, we read this sometimes as a fairy tale. But man has literally started going, let's see if this is true. I'm telling you, God has access to things that you don't have access to. And the next one is things, he says, you do not know. You know, finally, God comes up and says, hey, Tom, Pastor Tom, you just don't know everything. That came as a surprise to me one day. I thought I knew everything. I mean, my kids tried to tell me I didn't know everything, but they were my kids. But when God says, you don't know everything, it's like, okay, maybe I need to listen. And I love that there's things that we just don't know. Nothing is beyond the abundance of God. The abundance of God. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, the more we call upon God, the more he reveals himself. And he does that through our prayers. I'm going to show you more than you, things you don't know. And he gets to do that as a believer because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit searches out the deep things of God and he gives them to you. Wow. So why do we pray? Because we got an invitation from God. Why do we pray? Because he's given us his promise. Why do we pray? Because of the power of his persuasion. Nothing is beyond the ability of God. Nothing is beyond the access of God. And things you don't know, nothing is beyond the abundance of God. Wow. Maybe that'll help us understand why we pray. And so I want to give you these two things as our takeaway this morning. First thing is, prayer is about God's glory, not our self-satisfaction. It's about God's glory. God shall be glorified. It's not about what we get. It's not about what we want. It's not about, you know, did we get the outcome that we were looking for? When you go through the scriptures, John 11:4 is a good example. John 11:4. This is Lazarus. He's coming to Lazarus, and Mary and Martha are saying, you know, if you would have came, then, you know, he wouldn't die and all this. And verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Every time we go to God in prayer, every time, it's for God to be glorified. Because if you can fix it, don't go to prayer. There's no need to go to prayer. We go to prayer because he has access. We go to prayer because he's going to show us things we've never seen before. We go to prayer because he's the God of abundance. Not because we can do it. We can't. God does it. And the second one I want you to take away is prayer is about God's power, not our prayer ability. It's not about our ability to pray. It's about God's power. We got to shift this and think, man, if I just scream loud enough, if I just yell a certain prayer, or if I You know when you get louder, softer, crescendo? It's that musical part. I can't get it out today. It's like if I kiss, like, oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. Okay, I think I've reached it. If I can scream loud enough or pray long enough or beat my fist, you know, we and I've done it before. So this is how you guys get to have a pastor that every time I say something, it's just me. I'm the one that did it. I used to do these things. We don't have to. It's not my ability. It's not your ability how good we pray. It's the power of God. See, when Peter was sinking, immediately Jesus heard his cry and he reached down and he picked him up. But Jairus' daughter is sick and Jesus is going to her and he stops because there's a woman who's been sick for 12 years. She's not even supposed to be in the crowd. You know the story. She had this disease of an issue of blood for 12 years. She spent all her money. I mean, she was never cured, da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to heal someone, and he stops and spends time with her. What a story. There's so much in that story. And so Jairus could have said, oh, I guess I didn't pray hard enough and scream loud enough and do enough chants or whatever it may be. But he heals her, and then I think he raises her from the dead. It's not your prayers. It's not your ability to pray. It is your prayer, but it's his power. What about the centurion? He says, Jesus, my servant is home paralyzed. Centurion comes to Jesus and says, he's home paralyzed. And Jesus says, I will come. And the centurion, I love centurion, what he says is, so we think we have to pray a certain prayer. Now, so the centurion says, no, Jesus says, I'm going to come. And the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. But if you just say the word, I know he'll be healed. So tell me what ability the centurion had that his prayer was going to be answered because he didn't even want Jesus in his house. Not for any bad reasons, because he just says, I know authority, and you just have to give the word. Just a few examples of it's not your ability to pray. 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 We've talked about prayer for 3 weeks. Pray. God calls us. He gives us the invitation. Put it up on your, if you have to put the invitation up on your refrigerator, put it up with all your baby invitations and shower invitations and birthday invitation and wedding invitations. You need to make out an invitation that is colorful as everyone else has sent to you and say, call on me, Jesus says. Put it on your refrigerator. It's not your ability to pray. It's your understanding. I get to go to Jesus and cry out to him and say, I need you. I don't know what else to say, but I need you. That's all you have to say. Because then Jesus will put all the other words in there for you through the Holy Spirit. That's what I love about it. The Bible says even when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for you. Man, it can't get any easier than this with prayer. We have made prayer so complicated. So complicated. And Jesus says, I invite you. I answer. And I'm going to show you things that you've never seen before. Man, that's an awesome, awesome invitation. That's what we need to do. That's prayer. And so, we have prayer on Wednesday nights. That's what we do. We come, we read the word, and we just pray. We just cry out to God. We thank God for everything he's done in this church, for our families. We're praying for our kids, our grandkids, our children, our leaders. We're just saying, God, we're just praying. We're just crying out to you because there's no one else that can fix this. And I don't have to do it in a certain way. Everyone that comes here, we all pray differently. But you know what I like about it? I like when we come here on a Wednesday night, no one's trying to outdo the other prayer. I've been in prayer meetings where people try to outdo the other prayer. We just come as a family. Right, Yelena? We just come as a family. Ben, Oleg, is it Mary's mom. We just come as a family. And everyone else that shows up. I don't want to leave anybody out because then everyone's going to get offended. I didn't mention their name. We come as a family. We're not trying to outdo each other's prayers. We're just crying out to God and saying, God, we need you. We need you. It's not my ability to pray longer than the next person, because we got some awesome prayers, however you say that, in this church. I love listening. I mean, I'd come to a prayer meeting just to listen to you guys pray. But I'm the pastor, so I have to pray. But I just like sitting there and just like, man, I'm just basking in our time together of how much these people love Jesus. I'm being honest with that, man. I could just sit here in our prayer meeting and just say, keep on praying, Yelena. I just keep on praying. I just love it. We have new people coming. No one's embarrassed. Just pray. Hallelujah. Man, this is a great day. You're a good church. You're a good people. And God has exciting things for us all. So let us close in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We are, if you're a member, we have some food downstairs so you guys can get a bite to eat, and then we're going to start around 1 o'clock. Going to give you at least 45 minutes. About 45 minutes later, maybe start bring your way up, and then we'll start at 1 o'clock. If everyone's here, we can start before that, but give you some time. So let's just pray. Hey, before it's good to see Anna and Sandy back from their trip. I'll have you guys share next week about your trip. It's good to have them back. And good to see Richard Hardy with his surgery. He's here. Good to see Richard. He's going into surgery on Wednesday. Let's keep him in prayer. He's having another surgery done in Syracuse, so let's remember him in prayer. Hallelujah, God, in the name of Jesus, we say, God, we love you. You're awesome. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're amazing. There's no words can express how we feel about you, how I feel about you. God, you have made prayer so simple. You've given us an invitation. You've given us a promise. And in that, you've said that we will see things that we've never saw before, mighty things, things beyond our comprehension. That is an awesome invitation. So, Lord, help us continue to seek you the way that you are, that you want us to, Lord God. There is no stipulation or pre-qualification. It's a time we get together and cry out to you and say, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. There's no one else like you. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're our King. And God, we honor you this morning. God, that we would become a church, Lord, that people off the street would just come and pray because they feel your presence, Lord. They may come and just listen to the prayers that we are giving, Lord God, because, Lord, we're not trying to outdo each other. We're just trying to draw closer and closer to you in our love and our relationship with you. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. Help us to grow in this church to be a church of prayer warriors, Lord God. All over, Lord, we would pray for our nations and people, and God, that we would just make you the center of it all. Prayer is about building a relationship with you, nothing more. And God, you're happy and pleased with that. So I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the people, young and old. We do this together. We move together. Lord, we thank you for the vision that you're given this church for the lost, for our cities. Hallelujah. And God, as we continue to go another year doing what you've called us to do, I just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have prospered us spiritually, financially, and even physically. And I thank you for that. As the pastor of this church, you have great things for us. If we would just stay on your vision. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on downstairs. Anybody can come downstairs, but members, make sure you come back for 1 o'clock.